Good morning, good morning. We are so grateful that you've joined us. Wherever you're watching, I just want to tell you, for the last 6 or 7 months, it has been a huge honor for us to bring worship and prayer and the scriptures and the sacraments into your home, into your apartments. And I know for many of you, you're not able right now to get out. Maybe your health has been a concern for you. Maybe there's other factors that have kept you from venturing out into the worship gatherings. So I just want to tell you, it's been a big honor for us to bring worship into your home. And we feel that the power of coming into your house, we feel it's a huge honor. So we, again, thank you for watching on Facebook or on YouTube. Maybe you found us at newlifechurch.org, or maybe you're watching across the Front Range of the Rockies on Channel 13 KRDO. However you found us, we're grateful that you're a part of this worship gathering today. And I want to remind you, though, that we are having in-person gatherings at New Life Church. Here at 11025 Voyager Parkway up in the north part of town, we're meeting on Friday nights at 6:30. We have 3 Sunday services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. And also our East Campus has relaunched at Grand Peak Academy. If you go out Woodman, take a left on Black Forest, right there on Cowpoke, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We also have a campus or a congregation in Manitou Springs that meets every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have a Mandarin-speaking campus, a congregation that meets here at North. And we also have a Spanish-speaking congregation called Nueva Vida that meets down south of town. You can find all that information at newlifechurch.org. But I want to remind you that it's time for many of us to get back into the holy habit of in-person physical gathering. So if you're able, I want you to get back into the habit of gathering weekly with the body of Christ. And children's ministry has reopened here. So it's a good place. It's a safe place to bring your kids, your family, your friends, and come be a part of these worship gatherings. All right, we're in a series in the book of Revelation. So turn to Revelation chapter 4. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that we are relaunching our first Wednesday prayer gatherings this Wednesday night. Yes. It's one of our favorite nights of the month. It might be my favorite night of the month. But this Wednesday night at 6:30 here at New Life North, we're going to worship and pray. We're going to enter into the presence of God together. And I want to invite you to come be a part of First Wednesday. Be here in person with us. And we'll also be broadcasting it on Facebook, YouTube, and at newlifechurch.org. But this is a great time to come together with the body of Christ this Wednesday night for our very first Wednesday service of the fall. All right, are you in Revelation chapter 4? This is, in my opinion, the most beautiful chapter in the Bible. It'll be hard for anyone to find a more compelling, a more beautiful chapter in the scriptures than Revelation chapter 4. Before we read that text, though, let me remind you of what Revelation 3 said. At the end of Revelation chapter 3, John is writing to the church of Laodicea, and he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you will open the door, God will walk through that door into our lives. That's how chapter 3 ended. At the beginning of chapter 4, John sees a picture of a door that leads into heaven. So I want to remind you of something really powerful before we read Revelation 4. God wants to enter into our lives. He wants to come into the messy places of our existence. But there is another invitation. Not only does God want to come to us, God wants us to come to Him. And so in Revelation chapter 4, he talks about a door that is possible for us to walk through, and it's the door of worship. And so I want to talk to you about worship in heaven today. So turn right now to Revelation chapter 4, and let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you give us eyes to see? Give us a holy imagination today. Lord, let the beautiful picture of heaven saturate our souls as we read this text. Father, I pray today that we would hear and respond to your holy invitation to come into your presence. So Lord, give us eyes to see, a mind to understand, a heart to believe all that we see and all that we read today in your scriptures. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people watching online said real loud, amen, right? Revelation chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 8, but we're going to read 2 through 6 in the beginning. It says, at once I was in the Spirit. Notice that John is overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. He is alone on a prison island, isolated, secluded. I want to remind you that are watching today, some of you have been alone. Some of you have felt isolated, but the Holy Spirit comes to people in distress. The Holy Spirit comes to people who have felt isolated and alone. He says, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne. He walks through this door, and there is this throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Verse 3, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. He's seeing diamonds. He is seeing a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. I think John's having a hard time with his words right now. Can you imagine seeing this for the first time? He sees a picture of heaven. He sees God the Father sitting on the throne. It says surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white. They had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these were the seven spirits of God. Look at verse 6. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. I believe John got the most vivid picture of heaven that any man has ever experienced. John is caught up in the Spirit, and suddenly heaven is revealed to him. Heaven is shown to him. And I believe that John saw for the very first time who was in charge, who was really in charge. And he realized, I think John realized, that he was not the center of the universe, and neither was Rome. The Roman government had thought if we could just put this guy out on an island, if we could just separate him from his church, if we could just separate this guy from his family and friends, if we could isolate him and make him feel abandoned, he would become ineffective and our power would overwhelm him. And I believe John, for the very first time, realizes that he's not the center of the universe, but neither is the Roman Empire. The Roman government, the Roman Empire, who thought they were dominating the world, they were not the ones sitting on the throne. It was God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit that had found themselves on the throne. I wonder how much anger and pain, struggle and sin, worry and anxiety, insecurity and arguments come from the surprise that creation doesn't orbit around us. Can we just take a moment this morning to discover with John who's really in charge? John shows us in this vision who's really in charge of things on the earth right now. And I know many of you may wonder, is anyone really controlling the universe right now? Because the universe has been turned upside down. Hurricanes hitting the southern part of our nation this week. And we see rioting still happening in major cities. We see racial injustice still surfacing in our country. We see political divisiveness, and it's easy for all of us to wonder, is anyone really in charge? And if one message I want you to catch today from John chapter 4, from Revelation chapter 4, is that John shows us in this vision who is really in charge. In fact, he shows us a throne. And the word throne appears in almost every chapter of Revelation. In fact, it's going to be a recurring theme for the remainder of this book. And John wants to remind us that there is an established throne in heaven, and there's not been 1 minute, 1 second that God the Father has not occupied that throne. The throne of God shows us who is in charge. And the reason the world right now cannot give us lasting peace is because the world and the people of the world aren't really in charge. I want to encourage you, saints of God, to make sure you're putting your hope in the right thing right now. Anchor your soul in the right thing. Put your feet on the rock who is Jesus right now. Everything around us feels unsettled.
everything around us feels uncertain, and this is the moment. This is going to be a telling moment for the church. Who will we trust? Who will we worship? Who will we turn our attention to? Who do we believe is really in charge? I have good news for you today. The picture that John saw 2,000 years ago on an island is the same picture of heaven that exists today. And this is a moment for us to turn our prayer, to turn our worship toward God. In fact, worship gives us access to a place where God is in complete control. Worship gives us access to this place where God is seated. It is certain. It is a place of certainty. And when I worship, you know, when I come into a place of worship, my world around me may be swirling. The economy may be swirling. My personal relationships may be out of control. But when I come into worship, it brings me to a place where God is in complete control. Worship is a time where I can surrender myself. John comes into the throne, and John has nothing to add. You notice that John doesn't get into a conversation when he sees this vision. The only response when you see the throne of God is to fall down and to humble yourself. There's no need to get into some kind of description or argument. In fact, not everything in Revelation was meant to be explained. In fact, most of what we hear in Revelation was meant to be enjoyed, to be worshiped, to surrender ourselves. I know a lot of you were hoping that when we get into the book of Revelation that I could explain every little subtlety and every little nuance of the Bible. Listen, many of you have been tripped up over that. I thought today, I actually saw this Facebook video this week of a baby, and he was, you know, like a 5 or 6 month old little boy, and his cousin was making him laugh. And so the entire video was this little baby for 5 straight minutes just laughing uncontrollably. And I don't know why I watched that. But I sat there and watched this little baby laugh out loud, and it did something good for my soul. Is there a scientific explanation for the baby's laugh? Yes. Is there a way to understand why babies laugh for 5 minutes? Yes. But that was not the reason for the video. The video was for you to enjoy the laughter of a baby. Listen, if you've come into this series on the book of Revelation wanting it all to make sense and wanting it all to be thoroughly explained. Listen, people have been trying to explain the book of Revelation for 2,000 years, and they've all left all of us a bit frustrated because it's not possible to explain away everything John saw when he comes into the throne room. When you read Revelation 4, it's meant to buckle your knees a bit. You're supposed to lower your head and lift your hands. Your heart is supposed to come alive with the vision of what John saw. So stop trying to explain away everything. Just enjoy God's presence. Enjoy His goodness. Enjoy the laughter of a baby. Enjoy a sunset every once in a while without trying to explain it. Look at the rainbow that fills the sky and stop trying to explain it scientifically. Just sit and see it and enjoy it, and let it saturate your soul right now. Listen, we have been emptied in the last 6 months. And the reason that I believe God's calling us into the book of Revelation is to fill us back up with wonder, with the joy of following Him, the joy of worship, and the joy of prayer. Turn with me now to Revelation 4. Let's read 6, 7, and 8, the last three verses. In Revelation chapter 4, it says, in the center, around the throne, were 4 living creatures, and they were covered with eyes. Now, that's a little creepy to me, okay? I'm just telling you this. I'm just going to stop here for a moment. I think John was probably a little afraid when he saw 4 living creatures that are covered with eyes in the front and in the back, which, by the way, I think this is just a group of moms because my mom had eyes in the back of her head, too. My mom could see every single thing. So I think this is just moms worshiping around the throne. So the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox. Now, I'm not calling my mom an ox, but the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Think about what he just saw. That's an amazing picture of heaven. And each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And listen to what they were saying. Day and night, they never stopped
saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. John is showing us a picture of a God that is in control. When I was a young boy growing up, one of the great gifts that my mom and dad gave me and my brother and sister was the gift of knowing that they were present. I can't think of very many days as a child where my mom and dad were not present with me. My mom and dad were always in the house. And it settled my soul as a little boy to know that my mom and dad were going to be there. When I came home from school, my mom was often at home. At night, I knew that my dad was going to walk through that door. And there was something about my mom and dad being present that even when the world seemed troubled out there, I knew that my house, my home, my bed, the dining table in the kitchen, I can see it right now. I knew that I would be surrounded by the presence of my family. And see, this is a picture of worship. We worship with the conviction that we are surrounded by the presence of God. What John saw in Revelation chapter 4 was a heaven that was surrounding you. This was a heaven that would consume you. This is a heaven that would lift you up. And we worship with the conviction that we are in the presence of God. Just a moment ago, when we sang that song, when we came into those songs, it was more than just singing words on a screen for us. Maybe this is all new to you. Maybe you tuned in and you went, what are those people so excited about? Why are they so passionate about their singing? Why are they raising their hands? Why are they closing their eyes? Why are they singing so loudly and with such fervor? It's because we believe and we know that we are in the presence of the living God, who found all of us when we were in very dark places, and he rescued us into his glorious goodness and grace. And now we have found ourselves covered in grace, covered in his joy, covered in his love. And our only response to that, our only thing we know to do is turn our face back toward him and to worship him. Failure to worship, when we fail to worship, it leaves us at the mercy of the world's whims and fears. Without worship, we live manipulated lives. See, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what's happening, but there's a lot of forces, a lot of information trying to get my attention. There's a lot of things right now trying to distract me from worship. But worship steadies us. Worship gives us purpose. Worship gives me a sense of direction. I was watching this survival movie, this like a documentary on survival in the wilderness, because I had nothing else to watch. I've watched all of Netflix in the last 7 months. So this is the last thing I think I could watch. But this guy was in a particular area of the mountains where his compass didn't work. And he literally, he was showing the camera his compass, and the compass was just spinning around. He said, because there's magnetic fields in the mountains that were disturbing the compass. This is the world we're living in right now. A lot of you are looking at your life and the compass is spinning around. The compass seems uncertain. It's hard to find true north right now. It's hard to find our bearings right now. And listen, this is why we need to turn off cable news, turn off Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, turn that off. And we need to isolate ourselves, come among God's people, and steady ourselves. We need to make sure that worship becomes central again. And this is, I cannot tell you enough, this is why the gathered church is still very important for your life. Because you're around the saints of old. You're around the new believers. You're around saints who have been following the Lord for 40 or 50 years. You're around your family and friends, and there's something about being together. There's something about singing those songs together that steadies you, stabilizes you, gives you a sense of purpose and direction. Now look at verse 8. It says, day and night, they never stop. Day and night, the worship never stops. I found that there are days in my life where I don't have a gathered church to worship with. There are times in my life where I don't feel like worshiping, but I'm reminded there's not 1 second without worship in heaven. Every second of our lives is covered in the presence of God. There is constant worship in heaven. And if I would just choose to walk through that door,
if I would just choose to take one step toward him, I find myself in the company of the angels of heaven, of my grandparents who have gone before me, my loved ones who are already there. And I can imagine this epic worship service that's happening. And even though I may be alone in my car, I may be alone somewhere, I may feel isolated, worship is constantly streaming in heaven, and we get to be a part any day, day and night, in the middle of the night. When you wake up with worry, you can enter into worship. In the early mornings, when you are shaken by fear or concern, you can enter into heaven. And when we worship, we invite heaven into those realities. When we worship, we invite heaven into our present reality. Look at Psalm 42. I want to end with this today. Psalm 42, verse 5. This is a worshiper writing this, but he's honest about his human condition. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" He's being honest. He's being human. He's in lament, but then he turns to worship. He says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. However, therefore, I will remember you." New Life Church, and all of you watching around the world, some of your souls are disturbed today. Some of you may feel downcast. You may feel forgotten. But I'm about to call you back into worship. I'm going to invite you right now to turn your hands toward heaven. And we're going to sing this song called the Revelation Song. But I think they misnamed it. I think it's Revelation 4 song. This song was lifted out of the pages of Revelation chapter 4. And the song was written in 1999, but did not become well known until 2010. For 10 years, this song, nobody really knew this song. It stayed dormant. But then suddenly in 2010, the world paid attention to this song. And this song really has changed my life. For the last 15 years, I've been singing this song regularly because it lifts Revelation 4 right into my life, into my heart. And so we're going to sing the Revelation song together. We're going to turn our faces toward heaven. We're going to participate in what is already happening in the heavenly realms. And I want your heart to come alive today. I want the Spirit to come and meet with you the same way the Spirit came and met with John in his times of isolation. And then after that song, Pastor Tim's going to come back and we're going to come to the table of the Lord. Let's stand together wherever you are and let's sing this together as the saints of God.